you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be back with you for another new episode talking about health and wellness and all of that good stuff in your life. I hope you're having a good week so far. Hope you had a great weekend. It is Tuesday and it, well, it's raining here, which is lovely. We need the rain in Northern California. I know that some of you are still getting snow. I cannot believe how long winter is lasting for some of you folks. It's just the winter that will not end. It goes on and on, my friends. No, I'm not going to sing. Don't worry. So I really hope that you're staying healthy as this winter continues to go on and on forever and ever. Today, I would like to talk about green tea. And green tea, I love tea. I have drunk tea since I was a little kid, although growing up I think I liked it more for the sugar content than the actual tea, because I love to dump at least 2 spoonfuls of sugar into my tea, so it was more like warm sugar rather than a well-brewed cup of tea. But my whole life I've liked to drink tea, especially in the wintertime, a cup of tea in the evening. I like peppermint tea when my stomach is feeling a little upset. I like sleepy time tea when I'm getting ready to go to bed. There's something called Breathe Easy Tea, which actually does help with my asthma. It's got some great things in it that help with my breathing issues, so I definitely appreciate that. I was actually talking to a guy who was at our house a couple of months ago to, he was there fixing something, I don't even remember what, and I was talking to my husband about tea, and my husband will drink tea, at that point in his life, he drinks a lot more tea now, but at that point in his life, he was saying he just doesn't get tea. He doesn't like it. He's not a coffee drinker. He's not a tea drinker. He's just never really gotten into it. And he just doesn't understand this whole tea drinking thing. And so he grabs the contractor who was at our house and he says, "Hey, do you like tea?" And the guy who was, he's probably 24, 25, so a young guy. He says, "Do you like tea?" And he says, yeah. I mean, he was trying to be polite and diplomatic. And my husband was like, "No, really, do you like tea?" And he was like, "I don't know, man. I maybe tried it once in college." And I said, "You do realize that we're talking about tea and not pot, right?" It's just the way he said that he might have tried it once in college, but he didn't really want to talk about it. So I don't know if you're a tea drinker, but you may or may not be, but we are here today to talk about the benefits of green tea. And my husband actually is drinking a ton of green tea these days, which for him and his anti-tea rhetoric of a few months ago is pretty amazing. He is one of those people that really loves to be informed on different topics, and he always wants to look up the benefits and health, the health benefits of various foods, various drinks, you know, the concerns, the risks, the benefits, etc., the natural foods with their antioxidants, what, you know, which food is a good source of which vitamins and minerals, etc. And so one night he decided that we needed to look up green tea because he'd heard something about it. And I'd been, you know, talking to him about green tea for a while, but I didn't realize just how many health benefits there are present in green tea. I mean, if even a tiny fraction of what is possibly good for you really is true about green tea, then we should all be drinking it all the time. So he decided at that point, after we read this, we read several articles on green tea, that he was going to incorporate it into his day. And so he has been drinking more green tea and really enjoying it. And yeah, he needed to hydrate better anyway. As I'm sure we all do, we could all probably hydrate better than we do, unless you're one of those people that always gets in your specified amount of water every day, which changes per person. So green tea, that is what we are here to talk about today. Not pot, even though that story earlier made it sound like maybe that's what we were going to talk about. And we are here to talk about green tea. So in preparation for this episode, I went back and read some more articles, and I wanted to talk to you about some of the benefits that WebMD lists on their website. Wanted to make sure that we had a reputable website, not just some random place on the internet that's trying to sell you green tea. So there have been a ton of studies apparently done about green tea. And if you were to have something, you know, if you were to go and buy something with green tea extract in it or something, there'd be that little asterisk next to the health benefits that are listed that would say, you know, these had not been tested by the FDA, because it's not, you know, it's a natural remedy. It's not a prescription. It's not over the counter, etc. So green tea, one doctor says that he thinks it is the healthiest thing that he can think of to drink. You know, not there. There's no one food that is perfect that is going to just give you perfect health, you know, protect you from all diseases, etc. But there are so many apparent great health benefits to green tea that if you incorporate it into your daily plan, and of course this daily plan has to involve exercise and eating healthy and, you know, not smoking, not drinking to excess, etc., doing all of those things that you are supposed to do. It's not like you can just keep on smoking several packs a day, drinking every day, eating terrible food, never exercising, but just start drinking green tea and expect all of your problems to just melt away. That's not how it works. It's not a miracle, but it is about the catechins in green tea. I don't know 100% that I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I'll spell it for you. C-A-T-E-C-H-I-N-S, catechins. And they are antioxidants. And we all know that antioxidants are really good for you, helping to boost your immune system. And they fight and may even prevent cell damage, this particular antioxidant, catechin. So green tea, they say, is not processed that much before you brew it, so it is rich in catechins. Those catechins aren't removed in the process of creating the green tea that you then brew to create your hot tea, your iced tea, whichever way you like it. So it's all about the antioxidants, which we all know are wonderful. It has been shown to improve blood flow and to lower cholesterol, which are very, very good things. There is a study cited on WebMD from 2013. Actually, it's a review of many studies in 2013 that found that green tea helped prevent a range of heart-related issues, from high blood pressure to congestive heart failure. So green tea can be helpful if you have a family history of heart disease, if you have higher blood pressure. And it's one of those things that it can't hurt, right? So, you know, if you're skeptical, it certainly can't hurt. It's not something that's going to, you know, it's not going to have major side effects. It's not a prescription. It's not over the counter, etc. It is natural. So the study goes on to, or the article goes on to say that what is good for the heart is usually good for your brain. And your brain, of course, needs healthy blood vessels too. And green tea is supposed to be good for your blood vessels. So one Swiss study of MRIs, studying MRIs that revealed that people who drank green tea had greater activity in the working memory area of their brains, and that green tea has also been shown to help block the formation of plaques that are linked to Alzheimer's disease. So if you're someone who is concerned about memory, if you're concerned, if you have a history of Alzheimer's in your family, this is another thing that you can add to your repertoire every day. Maybe you're already doing mind games, which is, sounds, you know, that could be taken a couple of different ways, but games to help improve your mind and your memory, such as word games or crosswords, which is a word game. Maybe I should be drinking some green tea, but if you're already doing those things to help keep your mind and your memory active and strong, then adding green tea to your daily repertoire can help to improve your memory and keep your blood vessels in your brain healthy, which will hopefully help to prevent some of the onset of Alzheimer's. We are going to take our first break of the podcast now. When we come back, more benefits of green tea, because we have not even scratched the surface yet. We have talked about lowering cholesterol, we've talked about blood vessels, we've talked about heart health, we have talked about brain health, and we have not even scratched the surface. So stay tuned. You are listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, and I will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship, we got the fights covered. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. We are speaking today about the benefits of green tea, and maybe you're already a green tea drinker. Maybe it's something that you've been considering trying. You should definitely go and do your own research on it and see what you can find out, because there's a ton of articles out there. There's a ton of information out there. You often hear about green tea being linked with weight loss. Often when you see weight loss supplements that are natural, when you're reading the labels on things, one of the ingredients is green tea. Now, it's not, there's no miracle food or drink that is going to just melt your weight away. Obviously, as I said earlier, you have to incorporate green tea as part of the rest of your healthy lifestyle. And just suddenly adding green tea doesn't mean you're going to drop 50 pounds in a week or whatever it is that, you know, so the places promise you in terms of miracle weight loss. But there is some evidence that suggests that the active ingredient in green tea, which is EGCG, I don't know, that sounds like a hipster band to me, but EGCG, it might help you drop a few pounds. There are some other studies that show it doesn't really have an effect. Some people claim that green tea can help to curb your appetite a little bit. Others suggest that it can, that active ingredient can help you drop a few pounds. But it seems from the reading that I was doing on green tea that this really is inconclusive, that it seems to work for some people but doesn't really work for others. And that can be typical of a lot of different types of food or drink or supplements even. I mean, everybody's bodies work a little differently, so not everybody is going to have the same reaction to something like green tea as the next person. So, you know, really, I think it's one of those things that give it a try, see how it works for you, see if you feel like it curbs your appetite or, you know, helps suppress your appetite or whatever. But one thing that I was reading was that if you replace one sugary drink with green tea during the day, that over the course of a year, and let me just reread this again so I'm giving you the correct information. all things being equal, one doctor says, if you substitute 1 to 2 cups of green tea for 1 can of soda, if you're a soda drinker, over the next year, you'd save over 50,000 calories. That's more than 15 pounds. That's so, I mean, even that, and I've read a lot of studies or a lot of advice things that say, you know, just swap out one thing that you do every day that's maybe not so great for you and see what the long-term effects are. Well, here is a pretty impressive long-term effect. Just, you know, taking out that 1 can of soda, if you're a soda drinker, and substituting 1 to 2 cups of green tea, 50,000 calories, 15 pounds, more than 15 pounds. Of course, it says, the doctor says, don't swamp that tea with honey or sugar, because then you're just adding the sugar calories back into your drink. Another thing that they have done studies on is that there seems to be some evidence that green tea can help lower blood sugar. So if you are diabetic or pre-diabetic, green tea might be something that you can try fitting into your diet, your healthy lifestyle, to help lower your blood sugar, which is awesome if you can help to do that any kind of way that, you know, it doesn't necessarily involve medication, although some people need medication for their diabetes. I'm not saying don't take the medication. Obviously, do what your doctor says. But again, it can't hurt. Give it a try. See if it helps to lower your blood sugar and conjunction with the rest of your healthy lifestyle choices. That's, I think, a big one, because blood sugar can be really hard to control for a lot of people. And if there are simple things that you can do in your life to help control that even a little bit, and that, again, goes back to the sugar. If you are someone who drinks, you know, some people love water. I can drink water all day long. I know other people who just, they hate drinking water. They can't stand just plain water. But drinking sugary drinks, drinking soda or drinking energy drinks or all of the stuff that you can find, even juice, which seems like it should be good for you, is just packed with sugar. So if you're drinking those all day, that is certainly going to affect your blood sugar. So replacing one of those a day with green tea might be a really good place for you to start, you know, and then maybe you can start replacing more of those drinks during the day with green tea, because green tea will help you hydrate and it's not giving you all of that extra sugar. Of course, that's always assuming that you're not adding a ton of sugar or honey to sweeten it, which brings me to one of my big problems with green tea. And I said at the beginning of this podcast that I have always loved tea, although, you know, I did admit that as a child, I think I liked warm sugar, and that green tea can be really bitter. And so my problem is trying to find ways to drink it that doesn't just make me gag. And I'm someone who loves tea. I love hot tea. I love iced tea. And I've lived in Texas, so my friends in Texas would be appalled that I hate sweet tea. Which is weird, because my husband's always saying you like tea in your sugar when it's hot, but you hate tea in your sugar when it's cold, or you hate sugar in your tea when it's cold. And it's true. Love a little sugar in my hot tea. Can't stand it in my iced tea. I like my iced tea just plain. I don't know. It's a conundrum. Whatever. Just chalk it up to me being slightly weird. Even iced tea, green, I don't like it. It's bitter. It's got this aftertaste. But as I said earlier, if even a fraction of the health benefits that are listed for green tea are true, then I'm going to do my best to drink green tea. Thank you very much. I will figure out how to make it taste better if there, you know, that doesn't involve adding a ton of sugar. So one other thing in this long, long list of possible benefits is that they have studied whether green tea can have an effect on cancer. And again, these studies have been mixed, but green tea is known to aid healthy cells in all stages of growth. There are some clues that green tea might help to destroy cancer cells, But that is still, the research is still in its early stages. It's still a little bit inconclusive. You shouldn't count on green tea to prevent cancer. But, and again, you know, just, hey, I'm going to drink green tea and I'll never get cancer. Well, you have to still be practical about these things. You can't just be like, okay, green tea is going to be my magic cure-all drink and I'm going to just drink a ton of green tea and I'll be healthy forever. Again, drink it in connection, in conjunction with the rest of that healthy lifestyle, not as a cure-all or magic fix. Green tea, of course, does have caffeine in it, but it's got less caffeine than coffee. So if you still need that caffeine bump in the morning, but you want something that is maybe a healthier alternative to coffee, then green tea would be that alternative. Again, you can have a latte that is packed full of sugar, or you can dump a half a cup of sugar in your green tea. Either way, you know, you're not going to be replacing something not so great for you with, you would be replacing something not so great for you with something else not so great for you. You have to be careful how you drink it. So I would love to hear from you. If you are a lover of green tea, and of course, everybody's taste buds are different. It might taste bitter to me because that, you know, some things taste bitter to people that don't taste bitter to others. But if you love green tea and you have a way that you drink it that doesn't involve sugar, I would love, love, love to hear from you. Hit me up on social media. Find me on one of my social media platforms and tell me your favorite green tea recipe, because I really am trying to drink more green tea because I like tea. And I figure, as I've said about 8 billion times in this episode, it can't hurt. So share your green tea, your love of green tea with me. I want to hear it. I want to hear your favorite green tea recipes. How do you make it so it's not so bitter? Or, you know, if you're one of those people who that it doesn't taste bitter, then that's awesome. I wish I could be more like you. We're going to take our second break of the podcast. And when we come back, I need to get something off my chest. I have a little bit of a pet peeve and I'm going to go up on my soapbox a little bit. So there's your warning. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. For the first two segments of this episode, I was talking about green tea and the benefits therein of drinking green tea. There are a lot of them. Again, there have been some studies that are a little bit contradictory, but if you want to add something to your daily regimen of health and wellness, green tea is a really good choice. It is, you know, it might do a bunch of stuff for your health, and that is never a bad thing because it's natural. It's something that's pretty easy to fit into your day, and it could have really, really, really great benefits. Maybe it only does one of the, let's say, 15 things that the studies that articles claim it can do. Hey, that's one thing that's still That's still really great. That is still one health improvement that you are making that doesn't involve medication or anything invasive, etc. I mentioned before the break that I needed to get something off my chest and that I needed to rant a little bit. So bear with me here. There is a phrase that I see all the time that just bugs me. It bugs the snot out of me. And that phrase is, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. And I just, it makes me want to just scream a little bit because that is such an unhealthy statement. We have such an obsession with being skinny in our culture. Healthy. You've heard me say before, we need to be healthy. There are healthy people at any number of weights. Obviously, you need to be at a healthy weight for you, for your body, for your health, and that's something that you would determine with your healthcare provider, whether or not you are healthy and what you should be doing to improve your health. That might involve losing weight. I mean, weight can cause major health issues, but this phrase, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels, is just kind of it's a guilt trip. It's saying that you are, it's a guilt trip. It's using food as punishment. We so often, you know, talk about food as punishment. Well, I'm going to eat this, but then I have to go to the gym for an extra X amount of minutes, hours, whatever, to work that off. Well, no, food when used properly is fuel for your body. You know, you shouldn't be using it to, you shouldn't be emotionally eating, you shouldn't be eating because you're bored, etc. There's all those things that we do with food that aren't always healthy, but food is fuel for our bodies, and eating healthy food is wonderful. You should never feel guilty about putting healthy food in your body. And as for nothing tastes as good as skinny feels, well, that just leads to this whole idea of you can't ever have anything that is bad for you. Don't ever put anything in your mouth because no, that, you know, you're just going to gain weight and no one will ever love you. I realize I made a giant jump in logic, but sometimes that's how those arguments go, right? We have this idea of this idealized image of beauty in our culture, and it is just not, it's not healthy. It's not healthy mentally. It's not healthy physically. And I have been skinny. I have been overweight. I have been both in my life. And let me tell you, chocolate tastes damn good at no matter what weight I'm at. So nothing tastes as good as skinny feels is BS. I am trying not to swear here, but this is something that I feel very strongly about. And I have a friend who is very strongly opinionated about these types of topics because she, as a young woman, had an eating disorder and she has had to relearn her whole relationship with food and body image, etc. And phrases like that are not helpful. They are not helpful to a healthy person, but think of how unhelpful they would be to someone who has body dysmorphia, someone who has an unhealthy relationship with food, etc. They're just, it's not good. And so thank you for bearing with me. If you have put up with me this long through my tirade about this phrase, it bugs me. It makes me sad. It makes me angry. And just don't say it, okay? You may think it, but don't shove it down people's throats when you're trying to, because we don't usually say it to people who are already at a healthy weight, right? We say it to people that we think are fat, or, you know, we put our own opinion, we put our own perception of the world onto those people that don't fit into the mold of whatever it is that your mold looks like. Let's not do that, people. Let's be nice to each other. Let's be healthy. Let's be healthy in our bodies. Let's be healthy in our relationships. Let's be healthy in our emotional and mental capacities, etc. It's about, you know, as I talked about a few episodes back, that whole picture of health, and that involves many, many aspects in our lives. So be nice to each other and don't be afraid to eat a little chocolate. Don't, you know, I'm not saying, you know, there's a difference between eating, let's say, one Oreo and eating the entire package of Oreos. You have to have a little common sense. You have to figure out moderation and how that works for you. Maybe you have an addictive personality and, you know, you can't eat one Oreo. You know your body best. You know your habits best. So you'll be able to figure those things out. But let's not throw these phrases at each other, okay? Let's support one another and encourage each other in our journeys. I'm done now. I will stop. I will move on. Thank you for joining me. I hope you will join me next time. I will be interviewing another podcaster, which should be fun. I will be interviewing Alan Misner, who is the host of the Fit and 40 and Fit podcast. I hope I got that right. For some reason, it's switching around in my brain, but I'll be interviewing him. He works with, obviously, the title of the podcast, you know, you probably figured it out, works with people who are over 40 when our metabolism's changed and ways that we can reach healthy goals. And so we'll be talking about his goal setting process and the way he works with people and what his process is, how he makes that work for different types of people, etc. So join me next week when I speak with Alan about fitness and health from his point of view. In the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, any app that you have for your mobile device. Just type in GSMC. You'll find us. And follow us on social media. I would love to hear from you. Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. Thank you so much for joining me. Please join me again next time. But in the meantime, be the healthiest you that you can be. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.